This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama and then our feature Health and Healing. We shall close with a segment on the Jubilee year 2025. I am John Baptist Tumusime. Pope Francis has reminded Catholics that God is always waiting to receive us when we go astray and return to Him seeking His mercy and love. The Holy Father made the reminder in the text he had prepared for this week's midweek general audience. Because he is still recovering from sickness, the text was distributed by the Holy See Press Office. This week's teaching was a continuation of last week's teaching on the life of Jesus and the parables. This time, the focus was on the parable of the prodigal son taken from Luke chapter 15, verses 31 to 32, which speaks about the merciful father. In his teaching, Pope Francis noted that this passage in Luke's Gospel is intended to give us a message of hope, because it tells us that whenever we are lost, and however we are lost, God, out of His infinite love, always comes looking for us. Love, the Pope added, is always a commitment. There is always something that we must lose in order to go towards the other. Describing the young son in the gospel passage who squanders the share of his inheritance and comes back to his father, the Pope said, like all of us, he hungers for affection and he wants to be loved. After wasting what he received from his father, he realizes that no one cares for him. It is such experiences that give rise within us to the belief that we can only be in a relationship as servants. Only those who truly love us can free us from the false view of love. In the relationship with God, the Pope said, we precisely have this experience. The Pope concluded his reflection by inviting the faithful to enter the door which is always left open for us when we repent and return to God. This is the reason for hope, he said, because we know that the Father is waiting for us. He sees us from afar, and he always leaves the door open. The Holy See Press Office issued a statement on Wednesday morning saying Pope Francis had received in audience the board of directors of Gemelli Catholic Hospital and members of staff who included those from the Vatican Health Department who took care of him during his hospitalization last month. The Holy Father thanked them individually and wished them a happy Easter. The president of the board of directors, Dr. Daniel Franco, on behalf of those present, wished the Pope a nice Easter and a quick recovery. Reports from Nigeria say the Bishop of Makurdi, the Right Reverend Wilfred Chipuka Anagbe, has returned to the country despite threats by government to arrest him and other threats by Islamic groups to kill him. The bishop has been traveling abroad giving testimonies about the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. The government of Nigeria accuses him of portraying it as irresponsible, while Islamic militants accuse him of tarnishing their image. Father Moses Iyorapu is the director of communications of Makurdi Catholic Diocese. He spoke to Vatican Radio.
Our bishop was in the United States in the Foreign Office to give a testimony on the persecution of Christians in Nigeria. He has been on this advocacy many times since 2018, when two of the priests of the Diocese of Makurdi, Father Joseph Gore, Father Felix Cholaha, and 17 of their worshippers were massacred during Mass at St. Ignatius Parish. It was the peak of the killings by Islamic bandits. Government has never been able to arrest any and bring them to justice. Our bishop has been on this advocacy since the Nigerian government is not able to protect us and to hear our cries that we are being killed and people are removed from their farmlands. They're killed not just because they are farmers, they're killed because they're Christians. The bishop gave his testimony in the U.S., and then he came to the United Kingdom again and presented the same testimony to the U.K. parliamentarians. It was during that testimony in the U.K., the federal government, in reaction to the testimony, claimed that the bishop's testimony was baseless and had no evidence. And then some Muslim groups also issued threats against the bishop.
When the threats were issued, the church in the Makurdi Catholic Diocese reacted by defending Bishop Anagbe.
We had to step up our own protests and the solidarity cries and statements. The Catholic Lawyers Association of Nigeria Makurdi Diocesan Chapter and then the lay associations now had to go public, calling the government to protect the bishop. We had also the support of the United States and other governments that are in support of the persecuted church of the world, and especially the persecuted Christians in Nigeria. With the statement from the United States calling on the government to protect the bishop and the priest, the bishop is back in the country, and he hasn't been harassed by anyone.
Father Moses Iyorapu, the director of communications of Makurdi Catholic Diocese, speaking there on Wednesday from Makurdi in Nigeria. The church in Cape Verde continues the celebrations of 500 years since the Catholic faith arrived in the country. The first missionaries arrived in what is now Cape Verde in 1533. The first celebrations were held in the country in 2023, but because the majority of Cape Verdean nationals live abroad, now the bishops have decided to extend the celebrations to where they live and work. Celebrations are being planned for Western, Central and Eastern Europe, North America, Australia and South America. The coadjutor bishop of Bangassou Catholic Diocese in the Central African Republic, the Right Reverend Aurelio Gazera, has reported that relations between Muslims and Christians have improved a lot and has attributed this positive development to interreligious dialogue. Speaking a few days ago to a reporter of the Catholic Charity Aid to the Church in Need, Bishop Gazera said Muslims and Christians cooperate in many things, including security and development. He praised Muslim leaders for showing to their communities that people who belong to different religions can live together in peace and cooperate to improve their living conditions. For many years, the Central African Republic was torn by conflicts between two big militias. That is, Seleka, which was an alliance of several Muslim rebel groups, and Anti-Baraka, which was formed by Christian fighters as a self-defense militia against Seleka. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
News Panorama. Ghana has banned all foreigners from trading in its local gold market as part of efforts to boost national revenue and streamline the country's mining sector. The move follows the enactment of a new law earlier this month that grants exclusive authority of gold mining to a new state body, the Ghana Gold Board. Ghana is Africa's largest gold producer and the sixth largest in the world, but it is struggling to address widespread illegal gold mining, locally called galamsey. Chinese nationals have been active in Ghana's informal mining, and along with Ghanaian nationals, they have been repeatedly accused of ignoring environmental concerns. Under the new law, God Board is the sole buyer, seller and exporter of all gold produced by artisanal and small-scale mining sector. In South Africa, the government has rejected the claim by Starlink boss Elon Musk that he cannot operate in the country because he is not black. Musk recently wrote on his social media platform X, the former Twitter, that his satellite internet service provider was not allowed to operate in South Africa simply because he is not black. But the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa told the media that Starlink had never applied for a license. Analysts believe that this war between Musk and South Africa over the company's failure to launch in the country might stem from the nation's black empowerment laws and could be one factor behind the diplomatic row between the United States and Africa's most industrialized nation. The black empowerment laws came into force when white minority rule ended in 1994 after Nelson Mandela and his African National Congress came to power. The laws require investors to give historically disadvantaged local black firms a 30% stake in their businesses in South Africa. Musk, who was born in South Africa in 1971 before moving to Canada in the late 1980s and then to the United States, where he became the world's richest man, appears to see this as the main stumbling block for Starlink to operate in the country. Still in South Africa, where an American pastor who was kidnapped by armed men during a church service last week has been rescued following a high-intensity shootout that left three people dead. Josh Sullivan was found unharmed in Kibera Township in the Eastern Cape on Tuesday evening. Over the past decade, there has been a dramatic increase in kidnappings for ransom in South Africa. Sullivan's kidnappers had made a ransom demand, prompting the intervention of South Africa's elite police unit known as the Hawks. Sullivan describes himself as a church planting missionary on his personal website. On it, he says he moved to South Africa with his wife and children in 2018 to establish a church for Xhosa-speaking people. Sudan's paramilitaries have declared the formation of a rival government to the country's armed forces. The move comes 2 years into a war that has become the world's largest humanitarian crisis. You are tuned to the Daily Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
And now, our feature, Health and Healing. In the last two editions, we examined in details what sleep deprivation is, its causes, the burden it puts on people, its treatment and prevention. In this edition, we examine insomnia, which is in some way related to but different from sleep deprivation. Insomnia is a sleep disorder characterized by the inability to fall asleep and to stay asleep, despite having adequate opportunity for sleep. Sleep deprivation, on the other hand, is a lack of sufficient sleep due to external factors. Therefore, while insomnia is a disorder or a problem that makes it difficult for a person to sleep, sleep deprivation is a consequence of not getting enough sleep. There are two main types of insomnia. Dr. Simon Kiley is a lecturer and researcher in experimental and clinical sleep at Oxford University in Britain. He explains.
Insomnia status difficulties with the initiation or the maintenance of sleep affect approximately one-third of the population at any one time. On the other hand, chronic insomnia, which is persistent sleep difficulties lasting at least 3 months and leading to impairment to daytime function, affects approximately 10% of the adult population.
Insomnia is triggered by a number of factors. Dr. Nish Bopor is a physician with a specialization in sleep disorders and sleep medicine. She explains four of the causes of insomnia.
What is actually causing insomnia? Stress is one of the most common causes of insomnia. The problem with stress is that it turns sleep from a passive to an active process. So when stress is interfering with your ability to fall asleep or stay asleep, it then causes more anxiety about the process of sleep itself, leading to the vicious cycle of insomnia and poor sleep quality. Stress leads to a state of hyperarousal, like feeling shortness of breath or feeling like your heart's racing. It can also lead to feeling like your mind is racing and you can't turn your mind off at night. A second very common cause of insomnia and sleep issues is having irregular wake times and irregular bedtimes. Our body clock is our internal mechanism that regulates our sleep-wake drive. So if we're going to bed and getting up at different times every day, it creates a social jet lag effect that leads to feeling tired, feeling heaviness in the body, problems with mood. A third common cause of sleep issues is a circadian rhythm disorder called delayed sleep phase syndrome, or DSPS. DSPS is a condition where melatonin production is secreted later than average. So this results in difficulty falling asleep, and then once people fall asleep, they can stay asleep until the late morning or early afternoon hours. This is commonly seen in teenagers and adolescents and young adults. Up to about 15% of teenagers experience this, but it can continue into adulthood. A fourth very common cause of sleep issues are breathing issues, specifically a condition called obstructive sleep apnea. Sleep apnea literally means stopping breathing during sleep. It's characterized by a reduction of airflow or even a complete cessation of breathing during sleep. Sleep apnea is very common in about 1 billion people worldwide. The symptoms of sleep apnea include snoring, waking up with a dry mouth, waking up with a headache. People may wake up gasping or choking, and then they have issues with feeling tired during the day and feeling unrefreshed no matter how much sleep they had gotten.
In addition to what Dr. Bopo has explained, insomnia can also be triggered by substance abuse like taking drugs, as well as mental health disorders like bipolar and schizophrenia, chronic pain, and environmental factors such as noise and very high and very low temperatures, because these disrupt sleep patterns. Insomnia is associated with a wide range of harmful health burdens on people. Dr. Kyle again.
Insomnia has a range of consequences. It impacts the individual because it affects mood and cognitive function, which can have an impact on, for example, work performance, social functioning, and quality of life. Insomnia also appears to aggravate existing health conditions, and it increases the risk of developing future health conditions, including mental health problems like depression and anxiety, but also conditions like chronic pain and cardiovascular disease. Insomnia is also costly for society, both with respect to direct health care costs, like increased appointments and medication use, but it also confers indirect costs like reduced work productivity and increased absenteeism.
Dr. Simon Kyle, a lecturer and researcher in experimental and clinical sleep at Oxford University in Britain. Earlier, we heard Dr. Nish Bopo, a physician specialized in sleep disorders and sleep medicine. In our next edition, we shall examine how insomnia can be treated and prevented. And that was Health and Healing for this week.
Pilgrims of Hope, a weekly program of news, views, and reflections on the Jubilee Year 2025.
Hello, Pilgrims of Hope. Welcome to today's segment of our program brought to you today, Wednesday of the Holy Week in the year 2025. As we continue to journey with Christ, our only hope, even in his passion and cross. My name is Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I'm here once again to journey with you as hopeful pilgrims. Speaking about being pilgrims united with Christ in his suffering, we would love to shift our focus a little bit to one of the dioceses in South Sudan, east of Africa, where we know the people are experiencing a lot of difficulties at this moment due to the political unrest there and the people living in fear and uncertainty, but who, even at this moment, never relented or gave up in their hope in God and in celebrating this Jubilee of Hope. We had an interview conducted by one of our correspondents here in the Vatican Radio, John Baptist Tumusime, with the Catholic Bishop of the Diocese of Ye in the Southern Sudan, East Africa, Bishop Alice Lodiong, on their involvement as a diocese and as the people of God in the events of the Jubilee over there.
Bishop Alex Lodiong, the Ordinary of the Catholic Diocese of Ye in South Sudan, thank you very much for accepting to give this interview to Vatican Radio.
It's my pleasure to be here.
The Catholic Church is observing the Holy Year 2025 now. How is the year being observed in your diocese?
Yeah, in my diocese, of course, you know, when this Holy Year was open, we were also closing our Eucharistic Congress more or less in November 24th. And so the Holy Father is actually helping us to celebrate the fruits of the Eucharistic Congress by celebrating the Jubilee of Hope. Because when we concluded the Eucharistic Congress was so extraordinary. We had the processions with the Blessed Sacrament the previous day, Friday. Though that time also there were some skirmishes or, you know, some shooting around. But you can see people came and walked for almost 7 miles, and it was very extraordinary. And then the closing mass was very, very, very big. Bishop Brahan Jesus of Ethiopia, the Archbishop of Ethiopia, came, and we had a very beautiful celebration. And our cardinal, retired Archbishop of Khartoum, was the one who presided the mass, passed a very serious message that as we celebrate the Eucharistic Congress, it's not just a euphoria. It is a commitment that we are making. And this is something that we have to live on a daily basis. This same self-giving of Jesus Christ in our daily life also, among ourselves. And I think that inspired many people, and we went. And now in our diocese, we are saying we have to reap the fruits of this Eucharistic Congress. Certainly a number of things have taken, but we have to leave it now. So the Jubilee is helping us to leave the fruits of the Eucharistic Congress. So in our diocese, we are not necessarily opening the holy doors in the diocese, but we in the Diocese of Ye, we launch it at the beginning of the year of 2025 in January. And after that, now we worked out a program. You know, there are so many activities according to the general calendar we have, but we say we may not be able to implement all those stages at the level of the diocese because of our context. Our contexts are very difficult. We may not be able to bring people together once in a while because of movement, political insecurity here and there, cannot allow too many movements. So we have trickled the things down. And when we met as a business conference in our last extraordinary meeting in February, we came out with a few of the celebrations at the level of the Universal Church. And we say those are the ones that we want to emphasize on. And one of it is the celebration of the Jubilee of Families. This is very important for us in our context of South Sudan. So each diocese has to organize, of course, preceded with a number of catechesis, because we have seen that our families are bearing a lot of heat. We see that there is faith, very strong faith, but that faith is not being sustained because of the challenges. We see a lot of broken families, broken marriages for that matter, because of economic hardships. And so we said this Jubilee of Families becomes an opportunity for us to offer some catechesis to our families so that at the end of the day, slowly, slowly we move towards coming out from some of those unstable conditions of our families. And we also pray for our families in the particular, given our situation of economic hardships, that families should really be the basis of formation. We have embarked on strengthening the small Christian community because that's where we can approach the families directly. We also said we want to celebrate the Jubilee of the youth because our youth also go through a number of challenges. They are target of everything these days. When we talk of insecurity, they are always target to be recruited. If they grow in that spirit of violence, and then the future of our country is in doom. So as a church, we need to come in to catechize our young people, not to be associated with the violence all the time. So those are the areas we have chosen in a particular way to celebrate. But most probably we are planning a business conference for the Jubilee of the Youth. We might send some representatives and delegation to come so that they enter the holy door on our behalf in July of the Youth.
Thank you so much, Jean-Baptiste Mosime, for this interview. And thank you so much, dear listeners, for always being part of our program as we continue to journey with Christ in his suffering by our acts of self-giving daily during this Jubilee year and beyond. We bring today's segment of our program to an end as we anticipate the joy of the resurrection in the coming week. I am Sister Mary Jane Claire Anikwe, and I hope to meet you all at the same time, same station, next week. Jubilee Prayer.
Father in heaven, may the faith you have given us in your Son, Jesus Christ, our brother, and the flame of charity enkindled in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, reawaken in us the blessed hope for the coming of your kingdom. May your grace transform us into tireless cultivators of the seeds of the gospel. May those seeds transform from within both humanity and the whole cosmos in the sure expectation of a new heaven and a new earth, when, with the powers of evil vanquished, your glory will shine eternally. May the grace of the Jubilee reawaken in us pilgrims of hope, a yearning for the treasures of heaven. May that same grace spread the joy and peace of our Redeemer throughout the earth. To you, our God, eternally blessed, be glory and praise forever. Amen.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tumusime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Culture and Society. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.